Welcome back to Ask the Educator, a podcast for all professionals involved in medical device processing and sponsored by Healthmark Industries. The education team here at Healthmark has 280 years of combined experience in areas ranging from sterile processing, endoscopy, OR, biomed, to hospital and industry leadership. Our goal is to leverage our collective experience to answer one of your questions each episode, giving you the practical tips you need to succeed in the evolving world of device processing. My name is Kevin Anderson, clinical educator here at Healthmark, and I will be your host. Let's get started. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Ask the Educator. This is Kevin Anderson, your host, and this is a special episode. I'm really excited to have the next Isham president-elect, Marjorie Wall, with me. And Marjorie, just want to welcome you to the show and thank you for coming on and just being willing to do this interview.
Thank you, Kevin. I am so excited to be here as well. I'm a big fan of the podcast, and I'm excited to be here with you and have a chat today. It's good.
Excellent, Marjorie. So just to help any of the listeners, any of our people out there who routinely listen to the show, or maybe they're not out there on LinkedIn and things like that, maybe they don't know you very well. Can you just share a little bit about your background, your experience, that kind of stuff, so that we get to know just a little bit about you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I didn't set out to be in sterile processing. So I actually started off in dietary, working the grill in the cafeteria. And I was going to school at the University of Georgia. And my friend was working in this department, sterile processing. And she was like, we need a weekend tech. So I was like, I need a weekend job. And I got into sterile processing. So when I started in the field, I trained as a tech, became a lead tech, moved to California as a supervisor, manager, director, and have worked my way up at organizations out here in California. And so, you know, I fell in love with the field, and I'm so excited to watch it keep growing and developing and becoming a profession and to get that recognition that comes with being a profession. So that's kind of my work background. I actually did get my degrees a few years ago, my bachelor's and master's at Azusa Pacific, and currently I'm working on my doctorate at St. Mary's College of California, which I'm also excited about.
Wow, you have a lot on your plate. And one thing I just want to say, just off the top of my head, from hearing about your background, what an inspiration to other people in that, you know, you came from dietary and helping out in the kitchen and just kind of steadily but consistently moving your way up the ladder into sterile processing and all of those things. And I think that is pretty spot on and reminiscent of so many people in our industry. And that's why I think it's so cool, especially that, you know, you even went on to get degrees and then now an advanced degree. I mean, what a great example you're setting for people. And so congratulations on that, obviously. But I also want to learn a little bit about, you know, your current role too. You're going to be president-elect soon, the way I understand how it works, but currently you have been on the board of directors for Isham. So I'd like to hear a little bit about what that experience is like. What highlights may you share with the listeners about your experience as a board member even?
Yes. So I joined the Isham board of directors 2 years ago, and I remember going to my first board meeting, and I felt like I was in the presence of these just really amazing people in the industry. They were brilliant, had these amazing insights. And, you know, we came together as a team to try to figure out where to take Isham, how to build our strategy for the organization, what we were going to do to help represent the membership and, you know, promote the industry, promote professionalism, and really move Isham to where it needs to be. So it was really exciting and, you know, definitely a little intimidating, to be honest with you. But they're great people, the board, really good people there. And so we did work on several initiatives. You know, we were planning conferences, and as well as like we worked on some of the podcasting and educational plans, the certifications, that sort of thing. And we had a lot of initiatives that kind of got put on hold during the pandemic. But, you know, also during the pandemic, we were able to lean in and help support the industry with how to move forward with N95 reprocessing and a lot of those other really tough decisions that we had to make. We did a lot of town halls and information sessions, that sort of thing, to really help everyone educate themselves and get to where they needed to be. The thing that I'm most proud about, though, is our ISHM strategy, which is we've got some really big things that are going to be coming out over the next year that I think there's going to be some big announcements in the next week or two that are going to be really industry changing and are really exciting. So big stuff is coming.
Wow. Well, that is something that for me personally, I'm already looking forward to. And, you know, all those things that you mentioned, I mean, thinking back even just on that past year and all that the industry has gone through with the pandemic and people probably losing employees, but then having this new demand for reprocessing PPE and having to try and support them through that as information constantly was changing. What a great responsibility, what a great challenge, but what a great responsibility to be a part of. And that's the kind of stuff that I wanted people to understand, that you don't have to like necessarily be that rock star or whatever. This could be anybody. This could be anybody who's out there in the field right now who just wants to step up and help. And that's the kind of stuff that you end up helping with as a board member of ISHM, or maybe the next president-elect, depending on how things go for you or what your ambitions are. But what cool things to be a part of, and what a great experience to draw from for your career and your trajectory going forward. Obviously, now you're going to be a big part of whatever that revolutionary thing is that we're all going to be looking forward to now. And hopefully we'll be able to do a podcast on that as well in the near future. But without spoiling it right now, we'll wait patiently. But getting into your next role, like we mentioned earlier, you're going to be president-elect soon for ISHM. Your role is probably going to change, I imagine, but I just wonder, obviously you have ideas of how you're going to change things, and maybe this is leading you down the road of trying to not tell everybody what those big announcements are, but hopefully you can kind of explain this answer without giving away your big news. But what do you think ISHM's views right now, or your own personal views, or what are the biggest challenges in the industry today?
That's a really great question. And I'm going to answer it. But before I do, I love what you said. We need people to be able to step up and to do things in the industry, whether it's serving on boards, serving on committees, all of those different things. We need people with that passion and that drive to make things better. So if people are interested and they want to put themselves out there, give ISHM a call. We're looking for volunteers. You know, come join our team. Come help us. We want you. So I just wanted to say that.
Yes. But
so to get back to your question, though, so I think there's definitely opportunities in the field. The first one that I'm going to say is unity. As an industry in our work environments, we know how hard it is. We know power dynamics in our organizations. We know the struggles of being, of not being recognized as a profession or a professional. So I think as an industry, we need to come together in unity and be on the same team, pushing that professionalism message forward, educate ourselves, improve ourselves, improve our departments, open our minds to innovation and change and process improvement and technology. I know I'm throwing a lot of stuff out there, but we have to do that stuff, and we have to do it in a united fashion. And if we don't do that, then we're going to keep running into those barriers where key stakeholders don't recognize us as the professionals that we are. And we continue to get underfunded or under-resourced so that we're not able to safely support patient care, which is what a lot of hospitals run into. So I think that's the biggest barrier, is getting ISHM and ISHM members recognized as the professionals that they are. And I think unity is a big piece of how we're going to get there.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Marjorie. And, you know, it's funny, I talk to so many people or visit different departments And some of them have a great sort of disconnect or divide between them and maybe their OR or their administration. And then there's those rare few that seem to have a lockstep with their sterile processing leader and their OR manager and maybe even their surgical services director. And they see this value in each other and then in this partnership, and they tend to do some pretty amazing things in their departments. I was just reading the story about the SBD Department of the Year from HPN, and what an amazing story. And I don't want to get into that one right now, but I just want to call out there the importance of all those things that you just said and what that can really lead to. Like in our departments, whether you're a tech that's sitting at the table or in decon every single day, or if you're the leader, supervisor, whatever, you have to have some sort of end goal or some vision in mind for your future. And what is it going to look like and how are you going to get there? And hopefully those types of things that you talked about and having that unity and having that open-mindedness to change and adapt to this rapidly evolving world around us is going to help propel the industry forward. But is there anything really specific in your mind personally, what you would like to do while you're in this role?
Yeah. So related to this role, one of the things that I'm really excited about is embracing technology for education. You know, our techs learn differently now than they did 20 years ago. And I think, you know, going into media, a lot like this one with podcasts, but also micro learning, online education, and, you know, getting back to conferences, but expanding the media and the different ways that techs can get CEUs, can get education, can get training for certifications. I think there's a lot of opportunity to keep developing our techs into a career ladder and, you know, the CIS, the CER, all those different levels, and into leadership. So that's probably my biggest excitement. People that know me know I'm a bit of a data head. So anything that's going to help SBD people learn how to use data and analytics to build business cases. And I think a lot of that learning is going to come through these new educational structures. That's probably the biggest thing. Outside of Isham, though, I'm looking to continue to use the voice I have. And I recommend everyone to use the voice that they have. To continue to promote innovation in the industry. So things like using AI systems for data analytics and data cleanses and tray optimization. Looking at a lot of those new advanced technologies, I think there's going to be some technologies for like an AI automated IFU analytics type things to create process flows for how to clean instruments following IFUs, right? But to get SPD leaders and SPD technicians to kind of embrace these crazy ideas to do our jobs safely for our patients, safely and effectively. So my voice is always going to be promoting that and data.
Sure.
And unity and education.
Great stuff. I'm so glad that you are a little bit of a data head when it comes to sterile processing. I think it's a very data-rich environment where the opportunities are really truly endless in terms of increasing efficiencies, increasing quality, all of that stuff. But if you have no data, or you're not utilizing the data you have correctly, it then becomes really challenging to really improve and use those data points and analytics. So I tend to agree with you. We're going to need that data. We're going to need those analytical programs. And with the amount of stuff that's out there, when you mentioned IFUs, how in the world is somebody supposed to always follow the IFU with the way things are structured right now? Of course, that's what we want, but do we set them up for success? So I think you hit on a lot of really important things that we're going to need tools-wise moving forward. And, you know, unfortunately, I'm also kind of a sports person, but data is huge in sports. And because sports is an entertainment business, they get all kinds of revenue and funds to fund their data and their analytics programs. We don't. And so we need to change that. We need to figure out how we can help people justify those expenses and those resources in their facility. So glad you brought all that up. I wanted to give you a chance as well to just kind of have some, you know, last words or parting words, last sort of message to any listeners out there. What advice could you offer them?
Yep. So a couple things, but probably the most important is I'll share kind of my life motto, my life statement, if I can.
Sure.
I heard this from my boss back in Georgia when I was a tech. And this was back when I was questioning my own ability to be a lead tech or my own ability to be a supervisor. And the words she said to me back then was, sometimes you have to take a leap and build your wings on your way down. So you can't be afraid of risk and you can't be afraid of developing yourself. So, you know, take those chances, put yourself out there on social media, educating people, sharing your vision, your thoughts for how to make things better. Put yourself out there, educate yourself, whether it's through CEUs, advanced certifications, if you're not certified, and college. You know, there's very affordable ways to go to college. And, you know, you have to educate yourself, learn how to use analytics, learn how to use Excel and Tableau and some of those other technology things. And then, you know, take that risk to put yourself out there for those roles where, you know, they are a good fit with you and you will be able to start making that impact that you really want to make. Everybody starts as a tech. We just have to develop ourselves and give ourselves the faith in ourselves that we can do that. We can step above where we're at to be better.
Well, I can't say anything bad about that advice. I love the fact that you are encouraging people to invest in themselves. Education is a great one. I know, and you know, these sterile processing techs are not getting paid what they're worth or whatever. This is not a secret, but there are many health systems out there that are providing reimbursement for college courses. They're providing, many of them are providing reimbursements for certifications and things like that. Take advantage of these things. These are like extra dollars that they are giving you, and take advantage of every single one. So great advice, Marjorie. What a pleasure to have you on. I feel like it went a little too fast. Unfortunately, we are out of time. I just really appreciate you coming on and sharing a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your vision for the future. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for having me on. Again, I'm a big fan of this podcast. You do such a good job. And you have great followers out there that I know are just going to do amazing things. So thank you so much for having me on today.
That wraps up our interview with this year's Isham President-elect Marjorie Wall. It was really great to get to know Marjorie a little bit and to learn that Isham has some big plans in store for us this year and going forward into the future. I want to thank you all for listening. And as a reminder, please subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. All opinions expressed on this show are those of the presenters. Before using any medical device, it is important to review the device manufacturer's instructions for use.